Bibles this morning for just a few minutes to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 18, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 18. Fellas, if y'all give me just a little more volume, I'd appreciate that up here. I can't hardly hear myself. And of course, you say, well, why would you want to hear yourself? Well, I'm going to make sure I'm saying everything right. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Luke, chapter number 18. And I do want to read the first eight verses and try my best to begin a message that God's laid on our heart. We'll see how God takes it. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said with himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual asking she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Let's pray quickly. Father, we do love you this morning. And we love you because you first loved us. And Father, we dare not try to come and bring a message from your word through the energy and the power of our own self. Lord, of course, I want to preach well, but Father, we want to preach with the anointing even more. And I ask you, Father, Lord, to illuminate my heart, my mind, and my mouth. Lord, I pray this, that Lord, that you would preach this message through me. I pray you'd touch my heart and the hearts of each one that is here, those that are listening and watching live stream or will be listening by means of radio later. We pray, Father, that you'd use this word. Illuminate us, Father. Help us, Lord. And Lord, most of all, if there's one here that don't know you and the free pardon of sin, that has never been born again, I pray this be the hour the Spirit of God would draw them unto repentance and they'd be saved. Thank you for all you do for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, the message this morning, we'll get to it, Lord willing, either in this segment or tonight, but I want to preach why prayer won't work. Now, y'all just hold to that. And don't nobody get upset. I'm not left the Bible. But that's an attention getter. Now, last Sunday morning, Brother Cooper preached one of the greatest sermons I've ever heard personally on the subject of prayer. And he said, we can pray. But there are circumstances that will hinder God's people's praying. Now, we'll get to that here in just a moment, Lord willing. But again, I want to notice the text. We don't want to read and depart therefrom. Now, in this section and several chapters before, Christ is speaking in parables. Now, a parable is an earthly illustration with a heavenly meaning. God has given them an illustration that they can understand. And in this illustration, you and I can understand about a widow that had been done wrong by somebody, that had been taken advantage of. And so she approaches the king and asks him to avenge her. In other words, I want you to take control of this. I want you to turn this around. I want you to help me. I cannot help myself. I don't have the power or the authority to avenge myself. I need you to do it. This man didn't fear God nor man. He didn't care about her. But yet he realized this woman is going to continue asking, so I will do it to get her off my back. So there's a proclamation in this. In verse number 1, the Lord said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. We have a moral obligation. Men ought always to pray. The Bible's very clear on that. We have through the scriptures subjects of prayer, how men and women went to God and they prayed to God and God would hear them. And the Bible said men ought always to pray. That word ought is a good word in that text. It means a duty or a moral obligation, a moral rightness. So we have a moral duty because God said men ought always, not just in the things you deem worthy, because everything is worth praying over. Men ought always to pray. So we have a moral obligation. But then there's a mental order there. He said, and not to faint. Men ought always to pray. We have a duty to pray and then not to faint. That word faint means to lose courage, to grow weak, to get depressed or discouraged. So therefore, God said, you need to pray and not lose hope. You need to approach me because there's nothing too hard for me. And so we have in verse 1 a moral obligation and a mental order. But then number 2, there is a parable. Not only is there a proclamation in verse number 1, but in verse number 2, there is a parable. Now, please, I'm trying to keep this alliterated so ladies don't get mad at me. There is a neither man in the parable. He didn't regard God, neither did he regard man. He didn't have any use for God, nor did he have use for man. But yet, in verses 3 through 5, here comes a nagging woman. I didn't think I could dig a hole deep as Bud did this morning, but here I go. Just keep it. This king knew. I mean, folks, when your ways go all the way to the king, he already heard about this woman. She ain't gonna let it go. She ain't gonna stop. She ain't gonna hush. Are you with me? So in the text, this king, he didn't regard God nor man, but yet he realized this woman had a real problem and she would not let it go. Hey, you got a real problem? Don't let it go. You have a real situation? Don't let it go. Hey, you say, well, I asked the Lord and nothing happened. Yet. I asked the Lord and we end it with that. End it with yet. She realized, I'm going to keep going to God, to this king. I'm going to keep going to him. And the king knew it. This woman had a real problem. She had an adversary. Somebody had come and legally and rightfully done her wrong. And she said, I want something done about this. I need something to happen here. And I'm not going to quit coming to the king and asking until he does something. You know what that means? She had confidence, or can I say faith, that he could do it. He knew, she knew he had the ability. He had the authority. You know what she said? I'm not going to some peon that's sitting down here on the ground. I'm going to the throne. I'm going where the king's at. You know what that said? I've got access to him. Whoop. I've got access to the king, and I'm going to the king, and I'm going to talk to him, and I'm going to talk to him till I get an answer. And the king knew it. Yes. He didn't care about her. He just wanted her to hush and get out of his face, so he avenged her. So that leads us to the third thing in this text, a parallel. Now, the Lord, and look at verse 6 through 8. Let me go ahead and read that. And I'm trying to get to my message. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I'll tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So here we have a comparison. In this parallel, he said, hey, if that unjust judge that unjust king, that unjust judge, if he will do that for her and don't love her, don't care if she lives or dies. Don't worry, my back feels all right. Don't, giving God the glory. Don't care, just wants to pacify and get her out. What do you think God's going to do with his people? Amen. Those that he loves. Amen. Those that he cherishes. Amen. See the comparison. And if we would continue, that importunity praying, that's what the Bible calls it. Continual praying. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That continual and serious praying of a righteous man, it will accomplish a lot. But we want it all microwaved. God is not a microwave God. He's a God that takes time. Now I'm comparing food here. He's a God that takes the chicken, plucks the chicken, back up, wrings his neck. You ain't gonna pluck him until you wring his neck. The process is what I'm talking about. Plucks the chicken, cleans the chicken, cuts the chicken. You with me? Can y'all tell I'm a Baptist preacher? And then he prepares the chicken, and he flours the chicken, and he puts the chicken in a frying pan, and it takes time because the chicken, if you do this, you're crazy. Nobody goes to a restaurant and you say, I want the chicken. They say, how you want it cooked? You don't say medium. You don't eat chicken medium done. It's got to be day. You ain't eating a ribeye. We ain't getting off on that. But it takes time. But if you ain't ever had fresh fried chicken, you missing out. If you're a vegan or a vegetarian, it'd be good to break it one time. Once. And I'm afraid you won't be one no more. I don't care if you are or not. Just say, hey, that leaves more chicken for me. But there is a difference than buying something that's pre-cooked at the store and throwing it in the mouth. I'm telling you, put them side by side. Oh, it's chicken and it's all right. But oh my, once it's been through a great process in the hands of somebody. And prayer, if you want God to really work, God is building something in you and God is preparing something great for you if you don't stop praying. So we have the comparison. But it's amazing to me how in the last phrase of this parable, the Lord said something here. He made a complaint. Here's the issue with prayer. He said, nevertheless. See, here he is. He said, God will answer, and God will do it speedily, and God will do this. But here's a problem. Here's what causes the holdup. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? See, in the parable, it really wasn't about the unjust judge. It was about the woman. It was about her attitude. It was about her confidence. See, this unjust judge, this king, he knew. This woman knew. He could do it. Also, he knew she knew he was obligated to answer her. What do you mean? We don't obligate God. Sure, he obligates himself. What do you mean? Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. So the Lord, when he gave us that word, obligated himself to us. Right. See, here's what Baptists do. somebody has a problem. If you need anything, call me. Yeah. Well, when you say that, you're obligating yourself. Amen. So don't get upset when they call you at 2 o'clock in the morning. Amen. And tell you they'd run out of gas on I-85 and need you to come. Amen. Don't go to pouting about that. You obligated yourself. So when you tell people, if you need anything, call me, you better mean it. So, because the Lord did. The Lord meant it. Call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. The Lord obligated, and this woman knew, he's in the position. The judge, when he took that position, he obligated himself. And this man, he didn't regard God, nor did he regard mankind. He didn't care if she was avenged or not, but he was in the position, and she knew it, and he knew she wouldn't quit coming. Amen. She had faith. She had faith. See, the problem is, church, is that when we go to God, we really don't think he can. Right. Now, I'm going to confess my fault to you. I never doubt he can. I just doubt he will. You ever go down the road, and honestly, I'm talking about myself. Honestly, it's a form of pride when you're like, well, Lord, I'm not worthy of you to answer that. Lord, I'm not worthy of you to answer that. The Lord can, but he ain't going to do it for me. Oh, pitiful me. I'm his youngin. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you something. You that have the smaller children, you do for your children, and when they ask for something, you do for them, not because they're worthy of it, but because they're yours. I mean, listen, I love all the babies here, kids here, they know that. But my grandchildren gets a yes about every time. Not because they're worthy of it, but because they're mine. So what I'm telling you is this, God has obligated himself. The Lord has obligated himself because you're his. He already knows you're not worthy. The only thing that made us worthy is the blood of his son. The blood of Christ is only, I'm worthy because of Jesus. I can approach the throne of grace through Christ in his name. See, I can't approach God in my own name, but I have boldness and confidence. I can go in Jesus' name and make my petitions. Amen. It's not because I'm worthy, but Christ is. Amen. And I belong to it. Yes, sir. But let me give you these three things. We'll go home. Again, my message is prayer, why prayer won't work. The Lord let us in on that at the end of the parable when he said, when the Son of Man comes, will he not find faith on earth? Shall he find faith on earth? And so we see here we have the blessed inheritance that we are joint heirs with Christ and that we have access to the throne. The Lord has already obligated himself and told us, hey, if you'll come to me. But there's three things that I want to mention this morning. Three things I want to mention this morning that will cause prayer not to work. Number one, now I'm going to the book of James, and you don't have to turn. Chapter one, the first thing is doubtful in your supplication. And I'm about to preach this. Prayer will not work if you are doubtful in your supplication. In James 1, 6, and 7, the Bible says this. Let me back up and read verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. nothing wavering. That means no reservations, no doubt. Don't get frustrated with God. Come on. The Bible says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up his wing as eagles, shall run and not be weary, walk not faint. You know that word wait? That word wait doesn't mean this. I'm waiting. While I'm waiting on the Lord, I'm just going to sit here. That's not the term. The term is that of a waiter in a restaurant. While we're waiting on God, we're serving. We're serving. We're not idle. We're serving. See, that's a problem. I'm waiting on God to give me an answer to prayer, and I'm not doing anything. I'm going to sit here not doing it. Hey, that's going to hinder your faith. You know what you're going to do while you're waiting on God and you're serving God? He's going to bless you. He's going to use you. He's going to do things for you. And you know what? He's going to build your faith. He's building you. God, hey, you remember he was a son of a carpenter. Earthly father. And that's what he's doing to us. He's building us spiritually. He's building us. Takes time to build a house. There's a foundation. There's things that has to be done. There's a process. And so the Lord is building us. But we can't hear God wavering like a sea wave. We're not stable. We're not steady. Listen to this. Prayer without faith is like a car with no engine. Prayer without faith is like a stove with no heat. Prayer without faith is like a printer with no paper. Ain't nothing going to work. It's not going to happen. It's not going to come to pass. It's not going to go. The Lord said this in Matthew 21:22, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Don't let the charismatics pervert that verse. True God's people ain't going to ask for stuff that they don't need. Amen. I preached this before. If I need a new Ferrari, if I need one, I'll ask for one. But I ain't never seen a need for one yet. I have a want for one. But I'll have no need for one. I want a 1969 Ford Mach 1 Mustang, but I don't need one. I have absolutely no need for it. Amen? This name and claim and stuff, that's not biblical. You want that big mansion? Just name it and claim it. You better name and claim the payment. A lot of people name and claim, and then here comes the bank naming and claiming. If you really need it, and if God decided for you to pay for it monthly, he'd provide it. But God don't work that way. But every need, he'll supply. No doubt. No doubt, ever need a supply. Folks, I'm standing here today and giving God all the glory. I don't have one need right now that God had not supplied. But you know, tomorrow I may have a need. He'll supply it. You know why? I'm going to need his air tomorrow. He'll supply it. I'm going to need to be able to walk tomorrow. He'll supply it. I'm going to need whatever we need. But folks, ask it in faith. You need something, you better believe he's able. He's able. So prayer will not work when we're doubtful in our supplication. Now here's one, the second one. I don't have three, so y'all bear with me. Here's one about hindrance of prayer that we never think about. Men, are you ready? See, prayer will not work when we're doubtful in our supplication and when we dishonor our spouse. That's in the Bible, y'all. Amen. Some of you men's going to be wanting to fight after church. I'm broke down. Give me a few weeks. Then I'll get somebody else. 1 Peter 3:7. likewise. Somebody said, are you scared to read verse 6? Let's read verse 6. Even so, Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye dwell and are not afraid with any amazement. That's in the Bible too. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Amen. Don't get mad at me, I didn't write that. But I have to read it, and I have to believe it, and I have to practice it. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wife, and that's with them, talking about the wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now, church has heard me this. We got visitors here. You've never heard this. Weaker vessel doesn't mean second rate. Get that. Husbands, you need to be the head of your home. God has put that place and authority upon you. It's nothing to brag about because you'll stand and give account to God for it. So don't mean you walk around like this. Hey, I'm the man. Who cares? Do what God said. Amen. But the weaker vessel, we give honor unto the wife as in the weaker vessel. And again, weaker vessel is speaking about more delicate, more fragile. And I give this old illustration. And I don't think couples even do it now. Y'all ain't as old as some of us. But do you ladies that's my age and older, and some of you young ones might, when somebody gave you your first set of china, don't remember that? Raise your hand. First set of dishes, china. They didn't give you the country, they gave you the china. And you put that up, or you put it in a china cabinet, you display it. Youngins come along, you threaten their life if they touch it. Why is it? Because it's more expensive, it's more fragile, it means something, and you just don't treat it like you do chinette. Those old thick plates that's the man. The old rugged, old rough, built for labor. But that china is delicate. You girls looking for a husband, if he won't treat you like fine china, tell him to let you out the car. You ain't got a fool with that. He's dead, he didn't raise him right. If he'll open the door for you, treat you like fine china, junk him. You walk out, he goes to the other side and just don't care about you. Hey, he ain't marital material yet. And don't think you're going to fix him. You're not. He better be fixed first. But the Bible tells me if I do not, I mean, it's plain. Likewise, ye husband, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Husbands, if you're not treating your wife like fine china, you can't pray. One, two men, amen that. Bunch of cowards. You know why? I know why you're not, because you know your wife. You say amen, your wife's going to look at you and say, what, really? You amen to that? You scared. Scared. Amen. Y'all ready for me to move on? I'll get some amens right there, won't I? Let me give you one more and I'm done. Prayers will not work when doubtful in our supplication, when we dishonor our spouse, and then when we're defiled by our sin. I'm going back to Isaiah. You don't have to turn. I'm going to give you this thought. Isaiah chapter number 59. Look at the first two verses. I'll read them to you. The Bible says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. The Gospel of John chapter 9 talks about God heareth not sinners. In other words, if you've never been saved, you can't have a prayer life. Got to hear your prayer of repentance and getting saved. But you can't, if you don't belong to God, you can't have a relationship with God, and that's part of our communication. But us as God's children, Israel, this is an application here. I know he's talking to Israel. I know what dispensation it is, but it's still an application. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so therefore, hey, our sin, if we don't deal with our sin, folks, I don't care if it takes you 30, 45 minutes or an hour confessing sins, amen, you better do it before you try to pray. Sin is who we are. Sins is what we do. We're sinners saved by grace. Sin shall not have dominion over me. Therefore, when I sin, I do it by choice, not by force. Every sin you commit as a child of God, you choose it because, hey, we have power over it through the name of Jesus, through the working of the Holy Spirit and his word. We can say no, but we choose it. And if I allow it to linger in my heart without dealing with it, my prayers will be hindered. I'm going to read a few verses. I'm trying to quit. In the book of Psalms, chapter number 19. And if you don't have these verses marked and try to memorize them or have them highlighted, write it down on a note card, do something, you need to. I'm about finished. Psalm 19, verses 12 through 14, the Bible says this. Who can understand his errors? This is David speaking. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Listen here. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So here's the request of David. He said, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Then he goes, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. What is presumptuous sins? To sin without even thinking about it. Not even realizing it. Denying it. I'm doing this and I ain't thinking nothing about it. And don't even think what God said about it. Presumptuous. Lord, anything. I want to get it right. The things we think, well, God don't care about that. Sure he does. He cares about every aspect of our lives. Amen. Yeah, he does. Presumptuous sins, the habitual things that we just do and never think anything about. God knows it, and it hinders our prayer. It hinders our prayer life. Come on. I can name some stuff, but I think I'll let the Holy Ghost name them in your heart because I don't want the devil to say, well, he didn't name yours, so don't worry about it. I believe in calling sin by its first name. Amen. Adultery, sin. Fornication, sin. Right. Drinking liquor, sin. Amen. 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 Well, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, I'm sorry. God does. Amen. Amen. Wines and malt, strong drink is raging. He's deceived, not wise thereby. Right. Come on. Lying sin. Hello. Cussing sin. If it don't edify God, it's not right. Taking his name in vain is sin. Amen. You take God's name in vain, you don't even think about it. Oh, Lord. You ain't praising his name. You blaspheme. You just took his name in vain. Dear God, We don't think, hey, God said, I don't know why my prayers were, I don't know why, hey, you think about things you're doing against God, you know, hey, these presumptuous things you're not even thinking about. Lord, keep me from that. David said, I won't be kept back from those things. Those things that I'm just doing and not even thinking about it. And you wonder why, man, I've been praying and praying and praying and praying. Well, sometimes it ain't sin. God, just trust Him. Keep praying, importunity praying. But sometimes God says, I'm not hearing it. I'm not hearing it. Like the boy cried wolf, I'm not hearing that. Lord, help us. The Lord said, forsaken not the assembly. Ooh, here we go. Forsaken not the assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is. Hey, Lord tells us to do it, to worship and come together so much the more so said they approach it. So if you're not doing that, that's a presumptuous sin in your life. You're not even thinking nothing about it. You know, in your heart, mind, ain't nothing wrong with that. God said there was. And that could hinder your prayer. Everybody all right? Church, I love you. I'm just trying to preach the truth. Folks, I've not arrived either. Are you listening to me? When a preacher preaches a message, that don't mean he's arrived in it. I need help with it myself. I'm in the same boat y'all in. I'm not rowing in a bigger boat than you and a better boat than you and I got ahead of you. I'm in it with you. The disciples all in the same boat, remember? We're all in the same boat. We all battle the same things. Quit acting like you're super spiritual. We all need God. And we need a direct line. I don't want anything to hinder my prayer life. And I'm not, by no means of the matter, I'm not trying to add to or take away from Brother Cooper's. That was a great, if you ain't got that, if you ain't listened to that last Sunday morning, you need to get a CD or go back online. But prayer will not work if these three things are going on. It will not work for God's people. We have a great weapon in prayer. God help us. Let's all stand. Sisters coming.